on yesterday's show, we had a really interesting discussion, actually, about the football pitch where George Best first kicked the ball. It's to be protected forever. But the debate that went on the Nolan Show yesterday was this. Should we be continually celebrating someone who had such a checkered past? Alcoholism, accusations of domestic abuse. Here's some of what was said.
Let's look at the positive things about George.
Well, and ignore how he beat up women?
No. I condemn totally what happened between George and Anjay and anybody else, including Callum, his son. These things shouldn't happen. But whenever people get intoxicated, they're not themselves. They do silly, stupid things.
They're still
things.
Responsible, Jim, for what they do, whether they're drunk or not.
Yes, it is, Stephen. But why is it in Northern Ireland we always want to knock people rather than lift them up and support them? He was a role model. I remember where I was.
A man who beats up women was a role model.
Well, he had his bad points, but the good ones most certainly showed that he was an entirely different person in sobriety.
And John in North Belfast. Morning, John.
George Best. He basically had a state funeral. They named an airport after him. They issued £5 notes in his honour. Now they're going to protect a playground in his name. George Best was undoubtedly one of the greatest footballers ever lived, a very talented man. But as a role model, he certainly wasn't.
There was two sides to George Best. One was the alcoholic, and the other one was when he was on the football pitch, which we're talking about this morning.
Alex in Lisburn. Morning, Alex.
Well, I've been following this conversation, and I mean, I don't see George Best as a role model, but that doesn't mean we can't commemorate him. I mean, he was a great footballer. I think Best's appeal to a lot of people was his entirety of character, and that he was a flawed character.
So that's some of what was said yesterday. George's first wife, Angie Best, is with us this morning. Angie, good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
Nice to talk to you again, Angie.
Thank you.
So we had this debate yesterday on the radio.
And where every single one of those people are right.
What do you mean?
Well, there were two sides to George. Of course he was an inspiration. This little boy, in the time when everything was bad in Northern Ireland, inspired people. He lifted them up. This little boy from this little tiny estate in Northern Ireland, shy, went on with no expectations in life, went on to become a superhero to so many people who wanted to do what he did. Without doubt, he was an inspiration. But then, you see, we also have to accept responsibility because so many people would want to have a drink with George. So many of those men who now are saying he was an alcoholic and did this and did that, which, may I say, don't look at me when you say he beat women because I'm not included in that. So,
Angie, just to be clear then, so he never touched you, never used violence against you.
Don't antagonize the situation.
Well, hold on,
you did it to the man previously.
So that you know what I'm doing. Because there is speculation, and I want from your own words you to be able to say it. So he never used violence against you?
Once, when he was so drunk he didn't know what he was doing. Just the once.
And what did he do, Angie?
I'm not going into that with you now. We're here to talk about something completely different. Don't antagonize. Anyway, where were we? We were talking about whether he was an inspiration. During the Catholic Protestant times when everything was bad, George raised the bar in that country. He lifted people up. Of course he was an inspiration. He manifested hope when things were really dark in Northern Ireland. How can you possibly even question that? Now, I was also talking about...
Not questioning that.
No, okay, not you.
I guess
you're just an antagonist. You're not questioning anything. So but let me just say that people... men in general, have to take responsibility for the fact that everybody wanted to have a drink with George. So they would, instead of saying, no, George, come on, here's an orange juice, go on home with your son. Instead of saying that, they say, slap him on the back, say, come on, George, have a drink. So they'd have one drink with George, and then, as I always say, George would have 78,000 drinks. So we have to take some sort of responsibility for George's drinking problem, in my mind. He should not be dead. He should be very much alive, and we should be having a... But he died because so many other things take over once the drink becomes a problem. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry, darling.
No, that's fine. And look, I know this is personal. I know this is sensitive, and that's why we appreciate you coming on and talking about this morning. And at the end of the day, what you're doing is you're defending someone you love. So I get that. And there's no question about that, Angie. I guess for those people who were saying yesterday on the radio, look, not every alcoholic strikes out and hits people, and therefore they have some responsibility themselves, no matter whether they are drunk or not, to not commit domestic violence against their partner. And in that context, should we be holding someone up as an icon if that's what they did? What message does that send out to children? Now, I want a calm conversation around this, because I do see what you're saying too.
But you have to separate the beginning of George, when he did his football. There wasn't a problem then. The older George, who became the seedy old drunk, that was the problem. So in the time of his being the inspiration, there were no problems. He was good. He didn't hit anybody. He was an angel. He inspired millions of people. Even girls who played soccer in California were inspired by George. The World Cup team, one of the girls said her inspiration was George to play football. So when he was young and inspired and playing and becoming the world's best, there's no question. So separate the time, in my mind. Don't talk about the old George that became the seedy bugger who beat up his girlfriends. Talk about the young George who was the inspiration to so many boys and men.
So I get that too.
But you still have to keep pushing on the negative bit.
Well, I'm not pushing on the negative bit. I'm trying to represent the totality of the conversation, which is that some people were saying yesterday, look, can you separate when you look at an individual who you're holding up as someone who is a role model, who is seen as a role model? He was described as a role model yesterday by Councillor Jim Rogers, for example. And one of the questions that some of our callers raised, Angie, was, well, look, you know, do we afford that to other people in life who are less talented, that the mistakes they make, if they are as grievous as hitting someone, do we allow them to separate what they do well and what they do badly? And we tend not to.
Well, in George's case, which is the only one I can talk about because I don't know anybody else, we have to look at the timing. He became a problem as he got older because all he knew how to do was drink. But that was caused by his celebrity. It wasn't caused by him as such. It was caused by his celebrity and by everybody wanting to drink, because that's all we know how to do in this Western world is drink alcohol. So it was caused by us as much as it was by him. So I think there should be a certain amount of forgiveness in that direction.
Okay.
Because it began when he was older, not when he was being the inspiration. When he was the drunk, he wasn't inspiring anybody. But when he was the young boy who went to Manchester United and was playing and Benfica and everything else, he was an inspiration. So yes to that, no to the other part of his life, which was caused by all of us.
Callum wrote about his father in his book in the context of what we're talking about today.
Yeah.
And he wrote the following. And look, I've been in your home with Callum. I know how much you love your son. And Callum writes, my alcohol-poisoned dad is convinced his 14-year-old son and his beautiful fiancée are getting it on behind his back. You piece of...
Yeah.
He shouts, F off, you're not my effing son. And boom, his right hand whips up to my throat. The back of my head hits the wall. His hand tightens around my neck and my feet lift up off the ground. You're not my son. You're not even meant to be, he shouts. I hate you. Now, there's...
And?
Well, here's my point. I also know how much respect Callum has for George. There's a man, yes, and I get it what you're saying about it's driven by alcohol, but there's a man who has hit his son's head off the wall. He has struck you, and he has struck one of his other wives too. There's a legitimate question around, therefore, what type of man George was behind the scenes towards the people he loved.
No, that's not who George was. That alcohol-driven stuff was not who George was. Not at all. If sober, none of that would have ever come into the picture.
But some people, no matter how drunk they are, cannot do that to the people they love and don't do it.
How do you know? I don't believe that for a minute.
Really?
Mm. Because George wasn't just a drunk. He was a complete and utter soddled drunk. He drank the day Callum and I left. He drank every single day for 30 years. That was not the inspirational part. That was brought on by the shame, the anger, the regret. It was brought on by human emotions. And we couldn't help him because we didn't know how to. And I don't think that we should blame George for that completely, because all the stuff that comes with it, like when he got his new liver and he woke up and his mind started to clear and his body was getting healthy again, and then comes back into his head all the times that he let people down, that what he did to Callum and I, the stuff that happened, it was overpoweringly too much for him to handle on a daily basis in his head. And he didn't know to go and talk to somebody. He didn't know. Nobody was taking him by the hand and saying, come on, George, time to go talk to a shrink so you can get this out of your system, so you can be an old man, so you can grow. Nobody did that to George. So George kept it all inside, as he did. That shy little, sweet little Belfast boy took it all inside, poisoned himself even more. And the only way he could escape those feelings and those emotions of the things he'd done wrong and the guilt that he felt was to go back to the drink. I don't think we should blame him 100% for being that older person. But let's separate that and let's look at the little boy on the Belfast estate who, during the terrible times, raised everybody up in that country, gave them hope, had no expectation, went off to Manchester United, became such a glory to everybody. Let's praise that bit and let's use that as our inspiration.
And there is a lot of praise for them, and rightly so, for his talent and what he did. I guess your answer to my next question, I feel, will be revealing, because you're urging me to consider the sober George rather than the drunk George.
Andy. Yes.
So when George sobered up after that time he hit you, did he apologise?
Oh, of course. He didn't even know he'd done it, bless him. You see, when all through my life with George, I was always able to forgive him, always, because I knew that wasn't George. Now, I didn't know how to get him help. We went to many, many, many places to get help. We went all over the place. But it still wasn't, the mental part of it wasn't dealt with. It was always the physical part. And I think that the mental part is far more important.
When you say, though, you don't think he realized he did it, do you really think he forgot, or in that drunken state, after he had sobered up, that he didn't know he had hit you?
Yes.
Did he hit you hard, Angie?
No, he just pushed me. Didn't hit me, he just pushed me.
Were you frightened?
Yes. Well, I was a young girl. I was just a little puppy. I didn't know what was going on. I just knew I had to help my man because this wasn't him.
What I'm trying to do now is, for what you're saying, to relate it to other women who find themselves in those situations where there's a man because of their physicality, they're stronger. And whether there's drink involved or not, you know, physical violence against any individual is unacceptable.
Yes, of course it is. But I thought this was all about George being... Now you've gone off onto a different topic.
You thought it was about George being what?
Being an inspiration.
No,
you're now talking about men shouldn't hit women even if they're sober. Well, look, hello?
Of course
they shouldn't.
Of course they shouldn't. But you forgive him.
Of course.
Were you able to get through to him that he should never do that again? Because, of course, he did.
Yes, he did to Alex, without question. Obviously not, no. But you see, when he started doing that, he was such a seedy, old, horrible alcoholic, he didn't know any better. I mean, George would wear the same shell suit for weeks on end and just drink and drink and drink. I mean, for 30 years, the man drank every single day. So that George was not anybody I recognized. But Alex married him, tried to help him, but it was too late. He was too far gone because we didn't help him. Nobody helped him because we didn't know how to. I don't think that George should be looked at. I think in this context, this particular time of inspiration, let's talk about inspiration. I know you Northern Irish like to focus on all the negative, but let's focus on the positive. What a wonderful boy he was at that time, during the really dark times in Northern Ireland, to raise everybody's hopes. So let's just do it for that time. Call him an inspiration for then. And I know your little brain's ticking over and you're trying to think of something to say to pull it all down again. But don't. Let's raise it up. Let's raise the bar. Come on now. Let's all be better than that.
I just reckon, Angie, it is... There's so many different facets in the full story.
Yes, you're absolutely right. There are. So shall we focus on what the question was? Was George an inspiration? And yes. I mean, who's going to say no? They're saying yes, but then they'll say but. Well, forget the but, because that was in a time past the football. He wasn't playing football then. He wasn't George Best, the person we knew. He was George Best, the drunk. Now, was that an inspiration? Absolutely not. But was the little boy on the fields on that little tiny estate, group of green grass in Northern Ireland, was that an inspiration when times were so dark and so miserable over there? Of course he was. Look what we produced. Fabulous.
He was... This was actually me defending him yesterday, okay? Because some callers yesterday said, look, he got a second chance with a new liver. And
yeah, but he didn't get a second chance with a doctor who knew how to talk him through it, a psychologist who could take his brain and take away all the angst and the regret and the shame that he felt.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you, and I think you've nearly answered it. Addiction is a powerful, powerful driver in the brain. And what I was trying to say to some of the callers yesterday was, look, you know, you're blaming George for not being able to get rid of his addiction. Addiction is so powerful that people can't get rid of it on their own. And
absolutely.
And I get that. Do you think that the addiction was more about the physical dependence on the alcohol, or was it more about what had driven George to the alcohol, the demons in his mind?
It was the demons, without question. I don't think, now, everybody's going to have thoughts on this one, but there's a program called AA. Now, if alcohol was a disease, then there would be no AA, because people wouldn't be able to go there every day, decide that day they're not going to drink. they would all be dead from their disease. So it's not a disease of the body. It's a problem of the mind. And when it takes over, it is, oh, well, we know what it is. Everybody knows what it is. It's absolutely horrendous. And nobody can recover from it without help, without assessing and talking to people and talking about what's in their heads and getting rid of the angst and the anxiety and the shame. George had so much shame. I mean, okay, so when I'd left him, and I would pop over every now and then to see him with Callum, drunk George would say to me, "I'm so sorry, babe. I'm so sorry." That's all he would ever say to me. "I'm so sorry. I wish. I'm so sorry." For years and years and years. Oh, God, I'm going to start crying again now. Why does this happen to me? See, because I need to go and talk to somebody. Oh, anyway, come on, Ange. You can do this. We need to have more people to understand that they need to talk to people. They need to talk to a shrink or a supportive best friend.
Did George not talk to a shrink? To a psychologist?
No.
Why not?
Because he was from 1940s Belfast. And do you... That's why not. Because he was a shy, embarrassed little boy. Always, always Peter Pan inside. He didn't know how to go talk to somebody to get rid of it all. And if he did, it was too late. If there's a woman out there who's got a man who drinks and she doesn't want to marry him because of his drinking, take him to the shrink. Make him understand why he drinks.
Or leave him.
Absolutely. All right, I'm done now, babe. You've exhausted me, you've worn me out, and you've brought up all these emotions that I've been trying all these years to keep hidden. Oh,
let me give you
my shrink, and I thank you for that.
let me give you just one final opportunity to tell me in your head what you want to say about George Best.
Well, haven't I just said it?
Do you believe he was a role model that we should be who we should be proud of?
Absolutely. Hello,
Angie.
Yes, my darling.
I want to ask you this last question.
Oh, my God.
It is one last question. And you're not going to like it, but I feel it's relevant.
And of course you do. For those, you're an antagonist.
For those women who do find themselves in domestic abuse situations, what advice do you give them?
Run. Absolutely run. Or take your man to the shrink, find out why he does it. We've got to utilize... I say shrinks, psychiatrists, people who understand behavior. We've got to utilize them more. Don't be ashamed of them. They're not bad. They're only good. Because if you really love this man and you want to make this work, take him somewhere. If he won't go, then run. Take him to a person he can talk to and find out why he's doing this. Is it learned behavior? Is it anger? Is it something that happened in his childhood?
Or go to the
police. We're not born bad. We're all born good, beautiful babies. And then we have learned behavior. No, don't go to the police.
Don't go to the police.
Well, first...
If a man is hitting you, don't go to the police. Of course you go to the police.
Yeah, but then he'll get put in jail and there's no chance to find a shrink to talk to him.
Is that not the place a man deserves if they've hit their wife?
Yes, of course. I'm not... saying that, I'm saying if you think there's a problem, please utilize your local psychiatrist to find out why that problem is there. Okay. Because none of us are born with problems.
Angie, thank you very, very much for talking to me today.
Why do I do it? Why do I say yes to talking to you? Because you always exhaust me, wear me out and frustrate me and infuriate me.
I think you quite like me as well, though.
I do.
Thank you, Angie.
All right, babe. Bye.
Sean Nelliskinnon, we can give you about 50 seconds. Morning, Sean. What do you think of that?
Just listen to a fascinating
conversation.
Just listen to a very beautiful woman talking about a real icon. It took you the whole program to get a headline, and the headline was, "Don't go to the police." How much are you paying for this, Stephen? I hope it's this week's wages.
Thank you, Sean.
Worth every penny.
Thank you, Sean. George in the Shankill. Morning, George.
Very quickly, George. Yes, my point exactly yesterday that didn't get finished. This pitch and this can do two things. It can aspire and show kids, if you work hard and you knuckle down, what you're going to achieve in life. You can get to the level of George Best.
Okay.
And when they get there, they can learn a lesson that what can happen if you're not careful when you do get there.
George, we're out of time, but thank you very much indeed. Thank you.